Seen you locked and changed, didn't ease my pain. Left me feeling ashamed out in the rain. Can't explain the pain, how I stay sane. Don't like the game, will it ever change? Everyone, and welcome to another episode of Resilient Stories Podcast, where we share the grit and glory behind the stories of amazing people like you. I am Dr. Tommy Watson, and today's episode is being sponsored by Million Dollar Business Pathway, where we believe everyone has a story to tell and to sell. If you want to learn how to tell and sell your story, go to tawatson.com under the programs and products page. Click on Million Dollar Business Pathway to get yourself started. So, folks, are you guys ready for another amazing show today? Joining me, I have the one and only Sergeant Major Alfred McMichael, my friend. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you, Dr. Watson. It's an honor.
It's an honor to call you my new friend as well, man. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing well. I'm blessed. Thank you.
Awesome. So for the listening audience out there who may not necessarily understand what the title, I mean, it's a significant title, Sergeant Major in the U.S. Marines. Can you briefly just tell them what that means?
Well, yes, there's approximately about 500 sergeants majors at any given time in the United States Marine Corps. But that don't worry about that big number, because there's only one sergeant major of the Marine Corps, and which is less than 1% of the population. And only 19 men have been able to rise to that position. I was lucky to be the 14th and the first African-American. And so it's a very Christmas tree shape. There's a lot of people at the bottom, but only one can shine at the top. But the shining at the top only comes from the power that you have left behind you at the bottom to keep you lifted up.
Yes. Oh, that is beautifully said. I mean, so you're talking about the first African-American sergeant major in the history of the United States Marine Corps. That is amazing. So again, thank you very much, brother, for your service as well. And kudos to you for that accomplishment as well. So Sergeant Major, tell the folks how to get a hold of you and any of the latest that's going on with you in your life. Because you're a busy man out there, even though you're retired, man. You're probably busier than in retirement than you were when you were in the military.
Well, one, you're right, Dr. Watson. One thing that I promised myself is that I wouldn't fail retirement. I wouldn't flunk retirement. Yes. And so to be able to live up to that, I didn't fully retire. I just changed professions. So I went from the military life of 36 and a half years to being a own business owner, owning my own company and being a part of other companies as part owners. And at one company, I am a senior vice president of mortgage lending, taking care of veterans who have fallen on hard times and making sure that they get the opportunity where conventional loans won't allow them to get a home. We Wow. say, your service is your credit score. Your service is your reputation. And because of that, last year we had less than 2% default rate on the loans of people that conventional banks would not touch. We had one of the best years we've ever had last year during the pandemic, only because we made the effort to reach out to our veterans who didn't need a hand up or hand out. They just needed a hand to show that they were still quality citizens in our society.
Wow, that's amazing. It's unbelievable that, you know, we send off all these folks to go to war for our country, and we come back and we treat them sometimes as second-class citizens. So kudos to you guys for making sure that they're getting taken care of and the work they're doing. Sergeant Major, if folks want to follow you, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Well, the best way to follow me is amcmichael@9helm.com. That's my email address. Pinnacle 5 is the website that illuminates what I do on a daily basis and kind of tracks all the events that I do month to month. And that's pinnacle5.com.
I love it. And you're talking about a leader who coaches and grooms other leaders. You cannot find a better speaker, better coach, better consultant than Sergeant Major Al McMichael. So definitely reach out to him, contact him. If you're looking for speakers, consultant, coaches, you got to tap this brother's leader. What's the name of your... It's leadership. What's the name of your book there? You got a recent book that's been out as well.
Yeah, I do. I have a book. It's called Leadership, Life-Changing Events from Inside. It's something that I started when I wrote after I got out of the military, and 2006. I wrote the book in 2008 in March. I was finished by May of that same year. And people say, how did you write it so fast? It's easy when you tell the truth and tell your own story.
That's right.
So, and it's really not a memoir. It's just a capturing things that allowed me to succeed in life and to meet the expectations, not my expectations, but the expectations of people I love that depended on me to fulfill the thing that they expected of me.
Absolutely. You talk about a servant leader at heart. You can't find a better person, Sergeant Major Alfred McMichael. So thank you very much for your service and everything you're doing. So Sergeant Major, you know that the folks of this podcast are bringing amazing people like you on and having you kind of walk us through some of the most challenging times you faced. So our listening audience can kind of get a blueprint of how they can come out of challenges they may be facing as well. And you became the first Sergeant Major in the history of the U.S. Marine Corps. And we were just talking a few minutes ago, tell us about the integration that took place with the U.S. Marine Corps, because again, most of us, I was under the impression that Blacks have been in the U.S. Marines since the 1800s. You said that was not the case. Tell us about it.
No, that's really not the case. The Marines did not allow African-Americans or Black Americans to join the Marine Corps until the 1940s, 1945, 1947. And the thing was, we would get those that, if we let them in, President Truman passed the executive order, 9981, said that you have to integrate the military. But it still took the Marine Corps 2 years after that to make that path. And they were forced to do it more so than they were willing to do it because they were afraid Black Americans would take the credibility of what Marines stood for away from them. So we became what we call the Montfort Point Marines, and they were awarded the Congressional Gold Medal by President Obama and for their service in the Marine Corps. So it was a challenge for African Americans to be in the military. It was a greater challenge for them to be in the Marine Corps of the Department of Defense.
Wow, that is amazing. So can you tell us a little bit about some of the challenges you faced as a Marine? And again, because there have been many African-Americans who have come through the Marine Corps who were not given that distinguishment that you have received. What are some of the challenges that you had to face in doing that? Because we get a chance to see your glory now, but it couldn't have been easy, right?
Well, you know, the biggest challenge for me was the fear of failing. Because it started before I got in the Marine Corps. It started in high school, being one of the few boys in my neighborhood. And I lived in a Black neighborhood in Hot Springs, Arkansas, and with very few boys graduated from high school. My coaches and teachers and churchgoers and family members could see that I had some ability to do more. So when I told them I was joining the military, they were saddened. I mean, this really? Is too much talent for our neighborhood to go off and fight in the Vietnam War. Wow. So one of my shop teacher, very distinguished individual, his whole family was educators. He pulled me to the side and said, "You don't want to go in the military, and you definitely don't want to go in the Marine Corps. That is a white man's service. You don't want to go in there. And then you get in there, all they're going to do is make you an infantryman to be a bullet stopper." Wow. And so that was an obstacle that I had to overcome, the negativity of the dream that I had of being something more than just another citizen in Hot Springs, Arkansas.
Yeah,
I could do that with my eyes closed. I was already a good citizen there. Right. But I needed more. I needed more than coveralls and a lunch pail every day. I wanted to one day wake up wearing a suit and go into a big building. My dream. I'm sorry. Yeah. I was dreaming big.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
But that dream came to truth. I didn't actually have a suit on. I had a uniform on of distinction, but I was going in one of the biggest buildings in America. I was going to Pentagon every day, front door parking spot with an office, with a staff, with a wing, so and a title. So I figured, like, I have arrived. I've kind of reached that. But it wasn't easy. That climb and that mountain, I didn't stop climbing just because of the mountain. And I didn't take detours because there was obstacles in my way. You know, your race, your ethnicity, it was always an issue for me. People would say, well, you know, you don't want to do that because African-Americans don't go that route.
Right.
Well, why? Right. They don't go that route because you never offered it. So you're not offering it to me. I'm asking for it.
Yes.
And the reason I was able to take the opportunity to be the first African-American to serve in American embassy in Copenhagen, Denmark. There's no African-Americans in Copenhagen, Denmark. Wow. You know, I was the first African-American to become a director of a leadership academy for the entire Marine Corps in Southern California. I was the first African-American to serve as an instructor for college students at the University of Minnesota. I was the first African-American to do a lot of things before I became the first African Black Sergeant Major of the Marine Corps.
Wow. Wow. And that's amazing. Again, kudos to you and salute to you for being a climber and doing all the stuff you've been able to accomplish. You know, again, but we hear those things. Talk to us about some of the feelings that one endures when you're coming from a Black neighborhood and you're dreaming big and people start telling you, nah, boy, you don't want to do that. What are some of the feelings that you had to deal with? What were kind of emotions that kind of ran through you when you're hearing those rejections?
Well, actually, they were rejections. They were false prophets to me. They were false trails. They were telling me things that was limited by their dreams.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But I was inspired by my dream.
Yes.
And I learned early on from a stewardship of my grandmother that said, if you don't love yourself enough properly, you'll never be able to love other things adequately. Oh, so I had to love myself enough to do what I thought was best for me. If I failed because I did what you did, what you asked me to do, that's weak. But if I failed doing something that I knew that was good for me, I don't mind failing.
Absolutely.
But that was my drive, though, Dr. Watson. It was that I feared failing. I feared failing myself.
Yeah.
I feared failing my mom, who worked hard to give me a life to be able to pursue other things in life. I feared failing the people that had expectations of me. So that fear was a good thing for me because it drove me not to take the shortcuts, because shortcuts to me means long endings.
Yes.
And I didn't want a long end.
Yes, that's brilliantly said. I love the way you said that. So when you got in the military and you start facing these same type of rejections or people's perspectives from whites in terms of what you could do or couldn't do as an African-American in the military, what became the emotions that you kind of had to deal with there? Was it the same thing or something different?
Well, for me, when I was told no, my question always said to them was, can you tell me yes? Well, no, I can't. Yes. Well, if you can't say yes, you can't tell me no. You have no authority on me. So my stubbornness, if some people would think, was my drive not to be weak.
Yeah.
Because one door closed doesn't mean the next window open, I'm supposed to jump out for suicide.
Right.
I might go to that window and look for a different vision, another path. And that's what I did. When people would reject or say no to me, only fuel me to try harder and to be more qualified. But I never went to ask for anything that I hadn't researched to make sure I had the qualification.
Well,
a lot of people tell me, wow, you achieved a great thing by becoming the first Black Sergeant Major of the Marine Corps. But don't you know something? I was also the first man to be Sergeant Major of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization called NATO. I wasn't the first Black. I wasn't the first American. I wasn't the first service member. I was the first person, period.
Yes.
Nobody had ever served as the Sergeant Major of NATO but me.
Wow.
I had to not only do that, but create it, and it still exists today.
Wow, that's awesome. I love it. You talk about being a trailblazer, leaving a legacy. You are certainly doing that. So on your path to doing these things, when you start off in the military, did you have any mentors or guides that helped you through the process?
Yeah, I had, first and foremost, my faith and belief was in the number one mentor for me, God Almighty, because I could rely on that word every day and didn't have to sift it through the sander to find out how much of it is for me and how much of it was real. Everything that meant to me was accurate. And it was my ability to follow that. Sometimes when the road got crooked, I could turn to the word and straighten it out.
That's
because
right.
The straightness came from the understanding that I had up in my head. And that trickled down to my heart of being committed to following that. If I couldn't get it straight in my head, my heart may follow the wrong direction. So I had to get it straight in my head so my heart could be perfectly focused on the North Star.
Yes.
And it wasn't, but my number one mentor was always my mother.
Okay.
You know, my mom was, in society's words, a woman with 10 kids and no husband.
Yeah.
That puts her in a category that doesn't bring favoritism to our society standard. But you couldn't find a better mother that raised her children, never was on welfare. Wow. Never moved from one house to the other. I grew up in the same home every day of my life. Wow. Never had to worry about food on the table. Never was anything different in clothes or what I wore than any other person. That was my idol. That was my mentor. Because if she said the sun was up, trust me, it was actually shining.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. That's right. I love it. Kudos to your mother. What was your mother's name?
Rosa.
Miss Rosa.
Man, Miss Rosa was a powerhouse. Yeah. And she was a domestic worker. She cleaned houses and cooked for other people. Watching this woman get up in the morning to go to work, to get back home in time, to go to her day job.
Wow.
Because she wasn't asking anybody for anything. Right. She wasn't settling for pity or I need help. She helped herself. Yes, and right. To see that example was more beneficial to me than having a father and a mother in the house that was at odds with each other every day, that did nothing but confuse me with chaos. Yes. You know, I lived on a dead end street, and outside that house was a sign that said, read, dead end. But every day at the dinner table, my mom would say, what we don't do is bring those words in this house.
That's right.
Dead end. Because your dreams will never die and your hope of being something will never end. Right. That was right. The gospel at the table every night.
Wow. She was profound. Man, you're talking about a mother, single mother of 10, the profound wisdom beyond her days and even during that time as well. So she was a big shout out to Miss Rose out there, and kudos to her for being such an amazing example to you as well. You know, so when you look back on your time in the military, on your darkest day in the U.S. Marines, man, what kept you fighting? Why didn't you just, I mean, I'm sure there were some dark days. On your darkest day, what kept you fighting? What kept you in the battle? What kept you going? Said, I'm gonna put in 38 years. You put in 38 years in the military. What kept you going in your darkest days?
What kept me going on the difficult days that brought a shadow over the brightness in my life was the non-believers, the non-conformers. So it was easy for me to say, enough is enough.
Yeah,
I'm out of here. But if I walk away, what I didn't believe in incubates, it grows. I had to stay there to unplug it, to take the juice away from it, take the power that it had. When you have to go through me to make what you know is wrong work, I'm there to say it's a challenge you can't win.
Yes.
Because I'm not quitting. And so that was my thing to get through the dark days, to say, if I walk away, they only grow. But if I stay here, I may not eliminate it, but I can stunt the growth.
Yes.
I can stunt it. I look at young African-Americans, the Blacks in the military. One of the most saddest things I ever heard from a Black Marine was to say, I'm getting out or I'm switching over. Why? Because I wanted to be Sergeant Major, the first Black Sergeant Major of the Marine Corps, and I can't be it because you got it already.
Wow. Wow.
Really?
Yeah.
You're not happy that we broke the barrier so many, many, many others can? You were so, because you were selfish. You were a self-seeker. I never thought about that. I've seen a lot of great Sergeant Majors, Black Sergeant Majors, that should have been Sergeant Major of the Marine Corps. And I was rooting for them.
Yes.
But I never felt like if they get it, I'm done, because I didn't want to be the first. I just wanted to be in the position to make change.
Absolutely.
I wanted it to be better.
Yes. I love it. And you were not seeking a title as much as you were seeking impact.
Absolutely.
That's a great learning tool for all those young people out there and just people in general. It's not about the title. It's about the impact. I love that. I love it. So as you look back on your time in military and rising the ranks to become the first in many different situations, how would you say all that has kind of shaped you as a person today?
Well, it shaped me to the point of strengthening me, because it allowed me to realize I couldn't have gotten here if I had taken the wrong advice. I could not have gotten here if I had followed the wrong path. So it's kudos to those that were able to say, go in this direction, and meant it. It was kudos that I had the courage, the inner courage, the self-courage to believe that I'll take it. I see barbed wire. I see rounds coming right at my head, but I'm going to take this path because I believe if I can get through it, there's no stopping me now. You can't stop me on the other side. But if I stay here, I'm already stopped.
That's right.
And I'm a G-O guy. I'm a go guy, not a S-T-O-P guy. I'm not stopping just because the road looks crooked. I can straighten it out.
That's right. That's right. Boy, that's profound. I love it. You know, so as you look back on your journey, would you do anything differently?
Absolutely not. Because to get where I am now, I got there with the faith and confidence and the belief. To go back and try to duplicate it or to change it to make it better, I jokingly say I only had one child because the one I had been a perfect fit for me and my wife.
Yes.
If I had two, I might have a different story. The second one may not. The first one stayed true to the land. So I'm going to stop at the winner. I mean, I'm playing with house money here. I'm going to keep it. But in all seriousness, no, I wouldn't change
it. Absolutely. I love it.
I've tried to dream about being a professional athlete. You know, when I had the opportunity to try out for football in San Diego and go to UCLA and play there, and was accepted at a college in Northern California to play in the Marine Corps, said, no, we're not letting you out. You're under contract. And I think about if I had did that, you know, I could have went on to play professional ball. I could have did this or that. And then I say, but I would have missed all this. This stuff was too good. I can't see my life missing out on some of these journeys I've had.
Right. That's right.
When I was a young 18 year old, and you've heard of Senator John McCain, mm-hmm. His father was a four-star general in charge of the entire Vietnam War and wow. The defense. I tutored under him as his driver.
Wow.
I had the opportunity to rescue the Apollo missions when they would splash down in the Pacific. I had the ability to the opportunity to experience those things. And I think by playing football in California, when they gave me those opportunities, right. Bringing the hostages home from Iran in 1980, when we was captured for 400 and some days. In Iran, to bring the hostages home and serve in the diplomatic corps as a Marine. I don't think I want to miss out on that. I learned too much, exposed too much, enjoyed too much of opportunities to go from little Arkansas to big time events, you know, briefing the President of the United States, Senator Hillary Clinton days before Super Bowl or testifying before Congress. Those things was routine for me on a daily basis. And to say, I just can't make the change and say, I want to go back and do something different. This stuff was meant, it was meaningful to me.
Absolutely. And profound experiences, profound impact, profound life lessons as well. So Sergeant Major, we're coming off a tough year. There have been people out there who've lost their jobs, lost loved ones, lost finances, lost hope. What words, advice can you give those folks out there who are listening to us that a brighter day is going to come?
Well, first of all, they've got to believe in themselves.
Yeah.
Self-quitters is a loser in life, in anything. So believe in yourself, no matter how difficult times get. If you are, if you believe in yourself and willing to take the challenge, no matter what it is, you may not get 100% of it right, but you'll get more than enough it would take to survive.
Yes.
And finances is one thing. You know, I tell people, I make the greatest investment every week that I don't fear that there's going to be a benefit on the other end. You know, I don't know about you, but most financial advice I've had always said, never invest more than 13% of your wealth, you know, in one place. And I'm thinking, 13%, why am I worried about 13% when I can get away with 10%?
Yeah.
All my Savior and Jesus Christ asked me for is 10%.
Yes.
If I invest that, that is a no loss circumstance. Absolutely. And here I am over here worrying about 13%.
Absolutely.
I'm 3% to the good before I even get started, Tommy.
Right. That's right.
I'm 3% to the good.
Yes.
But what I'm saying is that faith I have in a higher power. I love myself. I love people like you. But there's got to be something greater than that.
That's right.
And for me, it's my faith in my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And when I find something greater than myself, greater than the people that I love and respect, then you can invest in that and find success on the other end. Not once in a while, but anytime, all the time.
Well, that's great advice, folks out there. Hopefully you guys are inspired, informed by the great words of my friend, Sergeant Major Alfred McMichael. And his advice is just a major. And if you're looking for a speaker out there, consultant, coach, you got to tap them. And Sergeant Major, people want to get a hold of you again. What's the best way to contact you?
Well, the best way is just call an old Marine up on 703-229-3090. But you can also find me through email as amcmichael@ninehelm.com. And most people say, what is Nine Helm? You know, you always turn to your roots. Nine Helm is the dead end street that I was born on and I was raised on.
Really? Really? Wow. Way to showcase it in a whole different aspect and introduce our world. I love it. I love it. So, Sergeant Major, we talked about some tough stuff. You ready to have a little fun?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so this part of our podcast is called the Rapid Fire Purpose Questions, all right? I'm going to ask you some questions about purpose. I'm not going to elaborate on any of the questions. I want you to give me and the audience your most concise answer, all right? You ready?
Yes, I am.
All right, here we go. So, Sergeant Major, tell us how you have turned a dream into reality.
By stop dreaming.
Okay. I love it. Yes. What gives your life meaning?
To focus on great things, not things that you can't change, but focus on things that are within your power. Fix the things you are capable of fixing, and big things will happen from that.
Absolutely. What one word best describes you?
Resilient.
Okay, great, great. What problem do you want to solve in our world?
Kindness, the lack of kindness.
I love it. What was your favorite thing to do as a kid?
Eat.
Can't do anything better than Hot Springs, Arkansas, buddy, right?
Yeah, right.
What do you wish you had more time to do?
More time to set examples and to meet expectations of those that depend on me.
I love it. What does your 15-year-old self imagine you would be doing right now?
Working in a big building with a suit and tie.
I love it. Who inspires you the most?
My family. Mm-hmm. My immediate family.
Yes. What's something about yourself we might be surprised to learn about you?
I think people will learn that behind the hardness of military and Marine, the softness is really what I'm all about. I am like cotton candy because I want people to be happy. I want to help people. I want to share with people. I want to give back.
That's right. You're talking about a servant heart. I love it. I love it. What's on your bucket list to do within the next year?
Continue to teach a profound version of civics to our youth. Of America, who are great young men and women that get a bad rap.
I love it. What's something you'll spend your time doing no matter what?
I think it would be reading and embracing my faith.
Good. Great answer. What would you like your grandchildren to say about you?
That I love them unconditionally.
Yes, yes. If you were a superhero, what would your superpower be?
My superpower would be, especially as a male, to be present.
Yes.
Okay. I cannot help you if I'm out of your life. Yeah. But if I'm present in your life, I can at least guide you if I can't change you.
That's a great response. I love it. What sparks your creativity?
Vision.
Okay.
Future vision. Always be visionary, to look forward, look out, look beyond. You know, it's cold. It's a perfect day today, but my vision is be prepared for an unperfect day tomorrow. And I can't wait till tomorrow to do that. So I've got to prepare it today.
I love it. Great response. If you became president today, what law would you pass first?
The first law I would pass is that you can't be a part of the U.S. Congress unless you are willing to put the people first.
Good response. You get a lot of amens, and I'd vote for you on that one right there as well. Great answer. Great answer. If you could follow someone around for a day, who would it be and why?
I think if I had to follow one person around today, would probably be, and I hate to use a celebrity name, but it probably would be Oprah Winfrey.
Okay. Awesome. And why?
I think she thinks deep, and she thinks outwardly, and she's forgotten about what's good for herself because she's more focused on what's good for the world.
Absolutely. I agree with you 110%. Couldn't find a better role model for that right there. What do you love to do for others?
Help.
Yes.
If I can't help you, I don't want to be a part of you. Yeah. Because I don't care if you're elderly people. I spent yesterday going down a phone list, just calling guys that were older than me, just to say, I'm thinking about you, just to say, how are you doing? Because I knew it would help their day, make their day a lot brighter. Somebody that they didn't expect took time to say hello.
That's right.
That's glory for me.
I love it. What's been the best gift someone's ever given you?
I think the best gift that someone has ever given me is my mom, and it's the life that she gave me for all the days in her life. She may not have been married. She may have had a house full of kids. She may have lived on a dirt road, but she gave me life. And I don't mean just the breathing life. She gave me the life that I enjoyed because it was the foundation of what I am.
I love it. What's been the best compliment you've ever received?
The best compliment I ever received is my daughter telling people, when she's questioned, how was it living in a house with the sergeant major? And her compliment, I took it as a compliment. I don't know, because he was always my dad.
That's right. Oh, I love it. What a great response.
Yeah.
What a great response. I love it. What's been the one thing you have never been afraid to do?
I've never been afraid to stand for what's right.
Yes.
Even if I had to stand alone.
Yes.
Even if I got knocked down, I was willing to stand up again and say it again or do it again, because it, not because it was the law, not because it fit the organization, not because it fit your ethical or moral standards. It was the right. It was just right. Simple.
You're talking about leadership at its best. That is leadership at its best right there. What moment from your childhood are you most proud of?
I think the moment in my childhood I'm most proud of is the day my mom was looking for the utility bills to pay. And I said, I've already paid them.
Wow. Oh, yeah. That's profound. Absolutely. I love it. What does success look like for you?
Success to me is an unknown in it for me, because to say you're successful means that you have reached the end. It's mm-hmm. done. Mm-hmm. My end hasn't come yet.
That's right.
So I don't know success yet. I know to strive, continue to strive for it.
Love it. What are you most grateful for?
My family and my God. Those are the two things, and not necessarily in that order. I'm grateful for both of those because, you know, every day I wake up, he's taken mercy on me. And every day I look over and see my wife, she has mercified me. So I'm grateful, but both of them are still there for me.
Yes, I love it. What's been the biggest lesson you have learned in life?
To never give up. Mm-hmm. Never quit.
Yes.
Move. Don't just move. Move forward.
Yes.
Don't just want. Go after it and get it. You know, my mom taught me a long time ago, you are different.
Yes.
But you're different to make a difference. In other words, just because you're different, it's not good enough. You are different to make a difference.
That's
so
right.
that would be it.
That's profound. And then last but not least, Sergeant Major, how do you want to be remembered in history?
Well, for me, I don't care if they remember me as Sergeant Major. I don't care if they remember me as the first Black Sergeant Major of the Marine Corps or the first Sergeant Major of NATO. Just remember me as a person you could turn to that you could get value out of.
Yes, I love it. Sergeant Major, you passed the test. Give yourself a round of applause, brother. Excellent job. Excellent job. That wasn't too bad, right? So
thank
folks
you,
out there, hey, my friend, Sergeant Major Alfred McMichael, you talking about a stand-up Marine, stand-up person, stand-up human being. You're not going to find a better person probably on this planet than him. And again, reach out to him, utilize his services. You're talking about a speaker on leadership. Nobody who can speak better on leadership than a servant leader. And what you heard was the heart of a servant leader throughout this whole podcast. So finally, Sergeant Major, two things our podcast focuses on as we wrap things up. Purpose and resiliency. What last words can you leave our audience with around purpose and resiliency?
Connection.
Yes.
If you connect those two, you are victorious.
Yes. Yes.
If you got a purpose and you're resilient enough to stick with it,
yes,
you are a winner.
Yes. Yes. That is profound, concise, to the point. Great words from one of the most distinguished human beings in the U.S. military and one of the most distinguished human beings in our country. My friend, Sergeant Major Alfred McMichael. Again, if they want to get a hold of you, what's the best way to contact you, sir?
Old-fashioned way, Dr. Watson. just pick up the phone and call, call me, 703-229-3090. Sergeant Major McMichael, Al McMichael, Mac, Al, whatever you want to call me, just don't forget to call.
That's what I'm talking about. Folks, reach out. Thank you very much, Sergeant Major, for joining me. Folks out there, thank you for joining us today as well. If you're someone out there and you have an amazing story of overcoming, we want to hear from you. Please go to tawatson.com, share your story with us. Subscribe to our podcast, Resilient Stories. Download this episode, rate it, share with your folks on social media. And everyone else out there, God bless. Peace and deuces, everyone. Take care.
Yours truly, Dr. Watson.